Or either there's other ways too, but you know that the angel is a medium to bring a message from God to connect man and God, introduce God to man. So we see here that God expects from us that kind of obedience, though we're not angels. We're not angels, but Allah wants us to obey like angels obey, as well as to obey like men obey. See? We are rational beings. We are to think certain things over. We are to make rational choices. But we are also limited creatures. And what did the angel say? Say, God, we have nothing but what you've given us. So how can we make a choice or decision that's against you? How can we question what you say, God? All we have is what you gave us. So the lesson of the angel is that man should accept to have that kind of humbleness too, that kind of obedience too. Now, certain things require us to use our mind to think about it. But in certain other areas, our minds ain't big enough to deal with it. The human mind ain't big enough to deal with some questions. So what are you supposed to do? In that particular situation, you're supposed to have the obedience of the angel. You know, if we would learn that, that would be a great lesson. If you could hear the call to fetch a prayer and not start thinking about it, you ain't supposed to start thinking about it. If you start thinking about it, you're going to get weak. In fact, the impulse to think about it is already an impulse from weakness. So you ain't supposed to think about it. You hear the federal prayer, the call to federal prayer, just get up, start to do what you're supposed to do. Get up like an angel. Get up automatically. You hear it, the impulse is there, you heard it, the impulse is there to what? Make federal prayer, right? So go on, wash up, do your ablution and make your federal prayer. Don't think about that. God has decided that. He has obligated you to do that. Who are you going to think about it for? You got to think it over, and then pretty soon you say, oh, I have to do this. I'm in a rush. But what God has established for all of us as law, we don't question that. Don't think about it. Don't they teach you that in the army? If the man give you an order, can you think about that? You might get yourself killed. You think about it. Can't think about it. You got to carry out order. So certain things you have to do without thinking about it. So if you look at that, the army requires for us to be angel in certain situations, right? Don't think about it. Do nothing but respond. Obey. And many soldiers have kept their lives and saved their buddies' lives because they were obedient. Isn't that right? If they had allowed themselves to think, they perhaps would have lost their life and also their buddies' life. And it's the same way in religion. These things that Allah has established for us, we don't have time to think those things over. In fact, we should never think those things over. You just do it. You do it. That's the way. And really, if you understand it, the angel is also a quality of human nature. Certainly, it's a quality of human nature. Though it's not typical human. Typical human is to feel, to reflect, to think about a thing. That's typical human. So that nature in us to just obey without questioning, or we're not letting our feelings come in, get involved, that's not our typical human nature. That's not typical of us. But that is a quality in our nature. Praise be to Allah. Praise be to Allah. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's really a blessing to have come through 40 years into this day and still together. That's right. 50% of the people that I see here are people that was here many years ago. And they are the faithful ones. They are the ones that keep coming here. And we're going to be here. We live here, we die here, and we hope our children will do the same thing forever. Now, let's look at Pharaoh for a few minutes. Pharaoh. What is the lesson in Pharaoh? Now, we know there's many lessons, so don't say the Imam gave us this. and go argue with somebody. Yeah, brother, the lesson in the angel is this. Yeah, our imam said it. No, imam was speaking from limited view, limited focus. Our focus is just on what we are interested in right now. And we're just talking about limited area. So don't go out and make something an absolute. You see? So we're talking about Pharaoh now. Look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a great ruler. And he was a ruler in a long line of the ruler of rulers. He had descendants from rulers, pharaohs. And when they spoke of Pharaoh as though Pharaoh always lived. Pharaoh never died. Pharaoh is God. Pharaoh is ever living. Yes, this is Pharaoh. In my study of Egyptian mythology, ancient Egyptian religion called mythology, now, I've learned how the Pharaoh conceived himself as God in the body. He saw himself as a heavenly God, but in his body, in Pharaoh's body. And his father, before him, was also a god, Pharaoh. He was Pharaoh. So it's like one Pharaoh passing it down to his son, and it goes on and on and on. This was Pharaoh. And we know the Bible has Pharaoh competing with God and really presenting himself as God and denying that there's any other God. Right? And also the our holy book, the Quran, it presents Pharaoh the same way. Because Pharaoh said, I know no Lord except me. That's what Pharaoh says in the Quran. I know no Lord, no God except me. Think about that. If that ain't exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us the Godhead was, think about that. That's exactly what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us the Godhead was. He gave us nothing but the description of Pharaoh, God in Pharaoh. He said, the God is like the presidency of the United States. Wasn't Pharaoh the president of Egypt? He said, the God is like the president of the United States. He said, you don't have the same one all the time, but yet it's the same God. Pharaoh said the same. Pharaoh said the same God, but now he's in me. Same thing. And all Elijah Muhammad said it was passed down from father to son, right? So it wasn't quite like the presidency. It was more like Pharaoh. Passed from down from father to son. Just think about that. Now let's see what happened to Pharaoh. Pharaoh finally got resistance, rebellion formed right under his nose. And the rebel was one of his inferior subjects. The rebel wasn't an Egyptian of the high class. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't of none of the high class orders. The rebel was from the low class, from the people of Goshen, according to the Bible, called the Hebrews, right? Jew, as we call it today. Moses. And Moses was one that they had found and taken into their kingdom as an orphan, right? As an orphan child. They took him out of the water, out of the river. And Pharaoh's wife, she took a liking to Moses, according to the report in the Bible. And the Quran also gives the same report right here. It's the same. He was raised in Pharaoh's house. And though he was not a blood son, he had no blood lineage. He was treated by that Pharaoh, like Pharaoh's own son. Right? According to the Bible. He was treated like Pharaoh's own son. Until he became defiant. He started questioning and rebelling against what Pharaoh was all about. Then Pharaoh threw him out, right? Pharaoh rejected him, cast him out, put him out in the wilderness. Now look, think about this now. It's a lesson that's learned in this, and also a parallel. If you think about it, there's a striking parallel between what happened there and what we've seen right here. Okay? So he puts him out because he starts questioning things. Questioning justice and whatnot. This ain't justice. Say, who are you to question me? Get out of here. Cast you on the outer regions. Out there, Moses met the Lord. He came in contact with God and what God wanted. He saw God's will. Then he came back. Right? Came back to Pharaoh. And that's when the battle started, right? That's when the battle started. It was the new equipment that God had given Moses against the old equipment of Pharaoh. What happened? When they met for the test was what? Who can survive? Right? It was a test of survival. The Bible says that Moses and his people went up. They were leaving Pharaoh. You know. Think about this. But this is beautiful. Now, you know, Moses. He wasn't trying to take part of Pharaoh's kingdom. He wasn't claiming Pharaoh's kingdom, was he? Moses just wanted to leave him with his thing, and saying, "Let us go to our thing. God intended us to have something different." Now leave us alone, let us go to what God wants for us. Pharaoh, he wasn't satisfied to just keep his thing and let Moses and his people go. He ain't no. He got his hard heart. No, we're not going to let them go. Now isn't that this world? Now all we want to do is be Muslims and live our Muslim life, but they don't want to let us be Muslims. They don't want to leave us alone. No, don't you leave us. You stay with us. Well, we don't want your thing no more. God has shown us that what you got is wrong. We don't want that no more. Now, why don't you just leave us alone? Let us go to what God wants us to. We ain't demanding that we take over your church. You keep your church. Pharaoh, keep your church. Right? Yeah, we turn them. Now, you know, I don't mean the Christians are as hard as Pharaoh. But some of these white folks are even harder than Pharaoh. And we don't want to take your church from you. You keep your church. You keep your kind of life. Keep your way of life. But God has shown us that this is the best. We want it this for ourselves. Leave us to choose our own way. But no, he comes out after us, right? But look, I haven't seen any white man pursuing us. I see the black man pursuing us. So actually, it ain't the white man carrying this out. It's the black man carrying this out against us. He's pursuing us. Just won't let us be. That's the truth. Those that never did agree with the army Elijah Muhammad, now that I say come out of Egypt, they act like they follow the army Elijah Muhammad. Well, his son, he messed up everything. Discredited his father's work. And what is this about letting white people in the temple? He never was with the army of Muhammad, didn't support him. Now, all of a sudden, now, they act like they took out an X or got a holy name. What is this? Is they letting the devils into the temple? See, well, I'm with Farrakhan myself. I'm with John Muhammad. I'm with Silas, you know. Just anybody but me, right? See, he's wrong. Who is this? This ain't the white man. It ain't the white man. The white man don't tell me I'm wrong. It's my own people telling me I'm wrong. And I don't see the white man in here trying to pull you all away from me. It's my own people in this temple here, excuse me, in this masjid here, trying to pull the people away from me. Right? Yeah. As soon as I get through talking, they got to come behind me and interpret what I say in a way to kill the effect of what I said. I ain't talking about none of these behind me here, you know. But you know, I've seen this. I don't want you to think I'm putting the blame in any particular person today. I'm just telling you what has been going on. You see? And you know the guilty ones just like I do. So just think about this. Now, how was the battle won? The battle was won at the crossing point, right? The river called the Red Sea. Pardon me, not river, the Red Sea. That's where the battle was decided, and that's where the battle was won. So Moses and his people, they had spent that night communing, thinking on God, right? In the nighttime, according to the Bible, they had been thinking on God. And the Bible say, and the spirit, it was raging. It was high. And it stayed up all night. The spirit stayed up all night. And when day came, it had formed itself as a wind. And the wind had blew back the water. Isn't this the Bible? It's beautiful when you understand it. I mean, it's more beautiful than ever. Then the wind had pushed back the water and opened up the Red Sea to Moses and his followers. So when the day rose, they walked out, and there the wind had pushed back the water. And they walked straight across on dry land. Moses was in hot pursuit with his chariots of soldiers and men. But when they got there, what happened? They started to do what Moses and his people did. They started to go across on dry land. But they couldn't go across on dry land. When they started to go into the opening where the dry land was, the water converged. The water converged upon them and drowned them. Pharaoh and his host. Now look at this mighty man grounded in water. Here's a man that had high wisdom. Don't play the Egyptians cheap, man. The Egyptians were men of science. They were the greatest builders. They were embalmers. They knew the science of how to preserve living organic matter. They knew paints. They knew chemicals. They knew physics. I mean, high science. High science. I wish some of you all would go to the Museum of Cairo someday. And I'm telling you, right over there today, they got things look like it should be in Marshall Field. And it was made thousands or more years ago. It's a fact. You see how come the white man is over there with his glasses and his spyglass and his microscope and all of his tools and instruments over there studying in Egypt? And you over here talking about, I ain't left nothing in Africa that I want. White man over there in Africa getting over. He getting over. And he done blind you so much and kept you back so much and fooled you as to what that past was and what it is. You know, I ain't left nothing in Africa that I want. There ain't nothing back there for me. imagine if you just had what one researcher got, just what one white researcher got from just about 2 weeks there, you'd be set for the rest of your life. You and your children have money for the rest of your life. I'm not talking about gold, diamonds, what they're getting out of South Africa. I'm talking about wisdom. White men have gone to Africa and got wisdom to modernize his own Western society. Oh, yes. See, that's what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell us, too. Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to tell us that, didn't he? I don't know why these new imams don't tell you more of this. Some of them think just because it's a new day, we ain't supposed to say nothing that the old leadership said. Boy, that would really be a good way of defeating us, wouldn't it? Tell the new, okay, you new now. Don't use anything from the past. Well, what you mean? My hands are from the past. I'm from the past. This whole body is from the past. What do you mean don't use anything from the past? We're going to use everything of good with the help of Allah. And we ain't going to let this new breed make us Uncle Toms. All right. So here's the lesson in Pharaoh. Pharaoh, man with great wisdom, great builder, ruler of the earth, God, said, I'm God, made himself God. And had his worshippers. You think the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had followers? Man, Pharaoh had all the Egyptians and other nations. He had colonists calling him Lord. Lord. Lord Pharaoh, the Lord God. You see? But look how he was defeated. I don't read where Moses or any of his people fired an arrow or a gun or stabbed him. Water. Water. The man drowned in water. Now, believe me, if you all pursue me to stop me or to challenge me on the land that I walk, you will drown. You will drown. I don't care how smart you think you are. You can be W. Farrar himself. If he come after me to chase me or to prove me wrong, he will drown. In fact, he'll be the first to drown. Because his reality is the false, is the most false. See, for to tell you that lies just don't hold up. When the challenge comes, the lie can't stand. The lie will go under, brother. The lie will be drowned. Can't stand. See, dry land is like rational mind. And water is like spiritual mind. You see? Water is like spiritual mind, and dry land is like rational mind. So those that God guide, they gave him their obedience, their attention. They were given to the Spirit all night long, according to the Bible. So when day broke, God had shown them the way. He had shown them how to see in the light. He had given them rational vision, rational insight. You see?
You've been listening to Imam Warif Deen Muhammad.